You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter. I got something stirring around on me. We've been teaching on the battle of the mind, what goes on in your head, things you need to get out of your head, things you need to get in your head, things you need to be thinking about. We've taught along those lines for several weeks now, and I want to talk this morning and minister this morning out of the Bible about, about remembering God's Word. Everybody say remember. I think one of the problems, especially if you've been a Christian a while, is that you tend to forget things. You know, you forget things you heard, things you learned, things that you had inside of you. And we need a system of remembering. We need to make sure that we renew our mind in remembering things that we've already heard. You know, Alexander Pope, he was a poet years ago, says, "You must teach men as if you taught them not, and bring out things new as if forgot." And really, that's kind of what goes on here. You know, I don't really bring out new things per se. There's things you've heard, but all of a sudden they fit. All of a sudden the picture becomes clear, but you finally heard them enough to where you got it. And truth is that way. When you recognize something and something comes alive to you and you're out here and you go, "Yes, I see that." The only reason you see it is because you've seen it before. You've seen it enough now to get it. You hardly ever get anything the first time you hear it. Isn't that right? But if you hear it enough, you finally get it. Things become clear by approach. The closer you get to something, the clearer it becomes. And so you've seen it maybe afar off. Maybe you've experienced it. Maybe this happened to you. Maybe someone said that. Maybe you heard your mama say it, your daddy say it when you're younger, you know. But all of a sudden now it makes sense. You go, "Oh, I got it." But if you hadn't heard it, if you hadn't seen it, and if it wasn't something that was already there, you know, you wouldn't have got it. That's why we need to keep reading, keep coming to church, and keep studying, keep listening to tapes and CDs and so on and so forth. And because, you know what, there's things in there you've been hearing, but you hadn't got yet. Yep. Are you out there? But if you hear it enough, you'll get it. I've heard things that I just flat out said, "No, I don't believe that. That's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life." And then the more I heard it, the more I studied it, the more I realized, you know what, that is right. But I didn't get it first time because it wasn't clear. The picture wasn't clear. And that's what we're doing here. We got a lot of pieces to the puzzle. You know, we've heard a lot of stuff in our life. We're not ignorant. Come on, we got ears. We can hear. But what happens when you get in church and you get in the Word is all of a sudden the pieces start fitting. And you recognize things that, you know, you've thought about it. You've thought that too. But, maybe the church you went to before didn't believe it, and so they preached against it, so you just kind of shelved it. But somewhere in there you didn't feel right about it, but you never really studied it out. And then you get in here and you start seeing it over and over, and you start seeing the scriptures that say that, and you go, "Yeah, you know what? That is right. That is the way God is. God does say that. That's exactly what Jesus did. How could I have missed that? It was there all the time." Amen? But all of a sudden it started coming alive. Peter says this in 2 Peter, first chapter, verse 12. He said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and are established in the present truth." And I think it's fascinating. Peter's saying, "I know you've heard these things, but I want to keep you in remembrance of these things." Because there's a funny thing about not keeping yourself in remembrance of something. You forget. You've heard me tell the story. I was digging in through some old stuff at the house one day, and I pulled out an old slide rule. I remember going to slide rule competition when I was in like the ninth grade, maybe 10th grade. I don't know. I didn't get past the 10th. Yeah, 10th grade. They kicked me out. That's where I got saved. But I had the slide rule, and the kids are going, "Daddy, what's that?" And I said, "Well, that's a slide rule." And they said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, I went to competition with slide rules." And they said, "Well, how does it work?" And I said, I don't know. I couldn't remember how to work that thing. And I was pretty good at it, too. I remember I did real good at competition. For the life of me, I couldn't figure out how to work that thing. I was sliding back and forth because it had been so many years, I had forgotten. Are you with me? I'm sure if somebody sat down and began to explain it to me, it would have started coming back, you know. But at that point, it had just been too long. And I think often that's the way it is. We've learned truths. We've heard things. We've even accepted truth. We even had a good service where it came alive. We jumped, we shouted, as it were. But we didn't remind ourselves of it. We didn't go over it. We didn't institute it into our life somehow, some way. And we've got to have a system. We've got to start saying, okay, I'm going to go over this. I'm going to write this down. I'm going to put this on the refrigerator. I'm going to put this on the bathroom mirror. I'm going to start saying this every day. I'm going to do something to remind myself of it. I'll tell you one thing. When you get older, you'll start writing stuff down. I can tell you that. Because I don't know what happens. Maybe it's we've got too much information in there or what it is, but seem to forget some things. But Peter had one quest here. He wasn't teaching them anything new. I think sometimes we come to church and, we want to hear something new. But really, sometimes we just need to hear the old stuff that we forgot that we let slip. We need to remind ourselves of the old stuff we let slip. Because I think most of us miss it in things that we know how to do, we just didn't do it. Or we got lax in doing it. You know, another poet, Ben Johnson, talked about, I can't really talk the way he did because it was like old, in fact, I put it in here, see if you can make sense of it. It was an ode to himself. Ben Johnson was a contemporary Shakespeare. I don't know why I'm quoting all these poets today. But he said, where dost thou careless lie, buried in ease and sloth? He said, knowledge that sleeps doth die. And this security, it is the common moth, the security of being easy and slothful and not studying, you know, and so on. Says this is a moth, like it eats things. That eats on wits and arts and destroys them both. It destroys your wits and it destroys your ability to do things because you're careless. That's what he was trying to say. And if we let the word slip, it'll get that way. If we get lax in coming to church, you know, I'm not talking about being saved. You're a Christian if you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. But you're not a very effective one if you don't get in church and you don't serve God and you don't read your Bible and you don't pray. Amen? Still saved, still love God, and still go to heaven. Thank God. You know, you just will never be what you need to be, what you can be. I love that Nelson Mandela quote when he was elected president after apartheid. And in that inauguration speech, he said, who are you not to be great? Your playing small does not profit the world. And that's so true. If you're just going to be mediocre, if you're just going to be just blasé, if you're not going to try to get any better, if you're not going to try to improve, if you're not going to push in a little closer to God, if you're not going to find out more about Him, if you're not going to be a better wife and a better husband, here it is Mother's Day, a better mother, if you're not going to try to be a better father, if you don't want to be a better Christian, why? I mean, God deliver me from mediocrity. Are you with me? It doesn't profit the world, doesn't help the world. I think we need to improve because the world's out there watching us. The world needs to see Jesus in us. Amen? And as far as his word's concerned, we've got to remind ourselves of it. We've got to go over and over it. Peter goes on and says this. He says, 13th verse, yea, I think it proper, as long as I'm in this body, this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Everybody say, stir you up. Man, I love to get stirred. The word stirs me. Sometimes I listen to old CDs and I get stirred up. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin the other day. In fact, this last week, Bert and I listened to a CD by Kenneth Hagin, a CD by Oral Roberts, and a CD by T.L. Osborne. Yeah, T.L. Osborne. Just some great men of God that have gone on to be with the Lord, you know, that I used to hear years ago, heard them live, you know. Used to hear, listen to them preach all the time. I got so stirred up. I was listening to Oral Roberts' CD on the fourth man. Oh, my. Talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fourth man in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looking in there when he put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, bound in the fire. And he looked in there, and they were unbound and dancing around, and there was another man in there, a fourth man like to the Son of God. Woo! And he got to preaching, and man, I just almost had to pull off on the side of the road. I mean, it was so good. I was going, you go, man, that's it. And he started talking about Jesus in Genesis. He's the creator in Genesis, you know, and he starts naming who Jesus was through every book of the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The time he got to Revelation, man, I am ready to go to heaven. I am ready for the rapture. I mean, it's stirring me. It's reminding me. Nothing I hadn't heard, nothing I didn't already believe, nothing I hadn't already read, but I'll tell you what, it just stirred me just to remember. Just to think about who Jesus is and what he did. Hallelujah. And think about the miracles and the deliverances that he's done. You know, my life and your life. You know, Amanda has a book called A Blessing Book. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I think it's really neat. She just writes down and records everything God does. I mean, if he answers a prayer, he blesses them, or, you know, something happens, she recognizes it being God, she'll write it down in her blessing book. And she's got another part that she's writing down things that she's believing. And she just seen one thing after another come to pass. In fact, Bobby Burrell the other day, we were talking about something, and somebody said something about Amanda had it in her blessing book, and he says, well, if it gets in that book, it's going to happen. You know, do what? Her confession book, yeah, it gets in that part of the blessing book. But Peter's reminding us. Everybody say remind. To remind is not to forget. Now, you have to actively remind yourself. You have to do something to remind yourself. He says this, knowing it shortly, 14th verse, I must put off this, my body, this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus has showed me. He knew his time was coming. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able to, after my decease, after I die, to always have these things, always in remembrance. The New Living Translation says, so I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone. Now, I want to submit to you, you're going to have to work hard to remember things, especially the Bible, because all of hell stands against you. The devil and all of his cohorts are against you remembering the Bible. Are you with me? And he'll use subtle things and time robbers, and, you know, you'll get to where you won't pray and you won't read your Bible. It'll be something simple, nothing bad. He just takes an easy road without rocks, without obstacles, and just little by little just pushes you away from God. Anything that can keep you from him. He doesn't care what it is. He's not interested in getting you in big sins. He just wants to get you away from God and away from the Word and away from remembering who you are and away from remembering who God is. Are you with me? You have to remind yourself of that. That's what church is about. Here we are celebrating today, Mother's Day. We've set a day aside every year when we celebrate mothers. So we don't forget. Are you with me? We have holidays like that for veterans, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, 4th of July. We have religious holidays like Christmas and Easter, celebrating the resurrection. We put it on a calendar. We are reminded of that's a good thing. That's an orderly thing that we do so we do not forget where we came from and what we are all about. In the Old Testament, there were feasts that God had. So they would every year would be reminded of the things that God had done. I think it's significant, and take this any way you want to. Genesis 9, turn to Genesis 9. I always thought this was very unusual. Remember when God flooded the earth because of the sin of the world was so great and saved Noah and his three sons and their three wives and Noah's wives? 8 souls were saved. Now, if you ever watched the movie Noah with Russell Crowe, the only similarity between that and the Bible is there's a boat and a man named Noah, okay? But other than that, it's nothing really like the real story that took place. But after the flood subsided and Noah, you know, the flood's over, they're landing, they'd sent the doves out and the raven and so on and so forth, and they found dry land, they got out, and they begin to sacrifice. In the 9th chapter, it says, this to me is fascinating, 9th chapter, 13th verse. God speaking, he said, I do set the bow in the cloud. Anybody ever seen a rainbow? Okay. I do set the bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token or of a covenant or a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. We still see that rainbow today. Sometimes you see double rainbows. That's really awesome when you see that. But rainbows are amazing things. Even today with all of our technology, a rainbow comes out and everybody starts taking pictures. I mean, it's a beautiful sight, isn't it? All the colors of the spectrum and just amazing. And we often, you know, have all these stories about the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow and so on and so forth. But the rainbow was put there. However you explain it physically, you know, with science, it doesn't really matter. God's the one that put it there. He put it there as a reminder. And I think this is interesting because it says in the 14th verse, and it shall come to pass that when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant. Now, you take any way you want to. I'm not trying to make any statement about God having a bad memory. But God put, according to the Bible, he put the bow out there for him to remember. Hello. That's the wording. I mean, it's very plain. He says that. And there are many times in the Bible that talks about God remembering and so on and so forth. I don't think he has a bad memory. I just think God's organized and God does everything decently and in order. And he has tokens and signs and symbols. And he has things that, you know, he has out there. That are reminders to him and to everybody, really, that he will not flood the earth again. Now, you can stand on that this week for sure, Will's point. Are you with me? The earth has never been destroyed since then with the flood. But it says, and it shall come to pass when I bring cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, 15th verse, and I will remember my covenant. I will remember my covenant, which is between me and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all the earth, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Wow. I just think that's fascinating that God has tokens, he has signals, he has signs, he has triggers. He made the world in a way that triggers his memory. And I can't imagine God not having a memory. I'm just reading the scripture. Did y'all read that? Okay, I'm not adding to it. I'm not taking it away. Whatever your concept of God is doesn't really matter. What matters is what God says in the Bible. And so, you know, he's orderly. He does not forget things except your sin. And that's because he chooses to. He says, I will remember them no more. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that good? He chooses to. So if God's got a rainbow up there, what do you have to help you remember? Do you write things down? Do you say things? Do you pray things? Are you with me? I mean, God put the cloud, the rainbow out there for a reason. Turn to Exodus 6. Sure, it's getting quiet in here. Now, bear in mind, before you make any assumption on your part, and maybe you never heard it said that way, I'm not speculating. I'm just reading the scripture here. Our prayers. Everybody say our prayers. Exodus 6, y'all remember when God took Moses and sent him to Pharaoh and to deliver his people, and the 10 plagues came, you know, and finally after the death of the firstborn, they were set free, and they backed up against the Red Sea, and a miracle took place. They walked across by dry land, and everybody else was destroyed. Well, it says here in Exodus 6, 5, God speaking, he says, I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wow. So my prayers actually keep God in remembrance of his promises. He knows his promises. I don't think he's forgotten his promises. But we are reminders of it. Our prayers are reminders of it. Our prayers get action from God on his promises. Our prayers don't let him get by. He's not going to try to get by without doing his promise, but he only does his promises for those that believe his promises. He only delivers those that call on him. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And yet he is the Savior of the whole world. Are you with me? So I know there's a bow out there that God uses as a trigger. Our prayers are a trigger to God to remind him of his word. God, your word says. I do it all the time. When I'm praying, I say, God, now you know your word says. You know your promise says this and that. And I know he knows that. But he's wanting me to do that. He's asking me to bring that to his remembrance, to bring it up. There's something about me saying it. There's something about me praying it. There's something about me getting it out there that calls it to task. It makes it happen, hallelujah. And the reason things aren't happening, because we're not calling them to remembrance. That's why I can't use a slide rule anymore. Are you with me? I haven't called it to remembrance. It's been forgotten. As it were. And Isaiah, he says this. Isaiah 43. Y'all don't mind going through a Bible drill here, do you? Isaiah 43. Oh, man, this is, oh, goodness. I don't even really know if you can handle this one. I probably don't, shouldn't even go here. Maybe I ought to skip that one. You want me to skip that one and go to something? No, no, okay, y'all want to go to it. Isaiah 43, verse 25 says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out your transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I will not remember them. He chooses not to. You say, well, he doesn't really mean it. Well, I guess he did. He said that. You say, well, I don't believe God could do. Well, I guess God do whatever he wants to. I don't think he really has to ask you anything. Are you with me? He's God. He do whatever he wants to. He says, I will not remember your sins. I'll blot them out. Of course, he's talking about those who repent, those that come to him. He chooses not to deal with you according to them. He chooses not to bring them back up like we always do. Hello. I am he that blotteth out, Isaiah 43, verse 25. Did I tell you where? 43, 25. I am he that blotteth out your transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember your sins. Next verse. Put me in remembrance. Remind me. Let us plead together. Declare you that you may be justified. Wow, goodness. You say, well, God, you know, whatever he wants to do is fine. No, no, he's waiting for you to call on him. He's waiting for you to put him in remembrance. He's waiting for you to bring it up. He's waiting for you to say it. Your prayers, they're like triggers that cause his promises to come to pass. As soon as that bow comes up in the sky, No, can't flood the earth, not going to flood it. Made a promise. The bow is the sign. It's the covenant. The prayer has been heard, and I have remembered the covenant. Put me in remembrance. Wow. You mean we have a part to play? Oh, yeah, and that seems to be the biggest problem. We have a part to play, and we're not playing our part. We're not bringing this to God to remember. We're not bringing it up. So we got the bow, we got our prayers, and we got just you and me. Now let's talk about us remembering some things. Turn to Jeremiah 20. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I'm so glad I came today. I'm so glad I didn't let that storm keep me from coming to church. I'm so glad I didn't let a bunch of rain, a bunch of lightning, a bunch of wind keep me from learning something about God and getting closer to Jesus. Amen. I mean, I need this morning. I need to put myself in remembrance. I need to, listen, if I could just remember everything I've learned, I would just be awesome. The problem, if you're not careful, when you get older, you're forgetting it faster than you're learning it, you know, and you gotta do something, write it down. My dad, I used to get tickled at him. We'd come in to see him, you know, and he had this little tablet. It was just not even quite as big as my iPhone. He had it in his pocket. You know, he always wore a shirt with a pocket and a little pen in there, you know, and he'd pull it out, and, you know, we'd have maybe some of the grandkids with us. I always used to take the grandsons, the oldest ones, with me. And he'd go, "Oh, Dylan, your birthday." And he'd look on his tablet. He had all the grandkids' names down, and he had their full name written down, middle name and everything, the date they were born, how old they're going to be this year. He'd write it down so he could keep up with it. You know, and I thought, well, he actually could do it better than I could, because I couldn't tell you their birthdays. But he had it, he had a record of it. Had it written down, as opposed to Brenda's stepdaddy Truman. When the kids come up, he'll say, "Now, who do you belong to?" Anyway, that's Truman. He's a little different. His mind's not slipping, but he's just a character. Notice in Jeremiah 20. I think this is so cool, because we're talking about remembering things, remembering the promises. Hey, if you're going to remember anything, you need to remember the promises. Amen. You know, I'm often told that I have a great memory, you know, when it comes to Scripture and so on and so forth. And I believe that. I do. Of course, it's what I do. I preach, I teach, I share. And I think the more you share something, the more you're going to remember something. And so I'm up here teaching all the time, so it's just easy for me. But now, it wasn't when I got saved. You have to realize, when I got saved, I came out of drugs and jails. And I came out of a wild lifestyle. I mentioned in high school, I got kicked out of high school in the 10th grade. I actually was taking 11th grade English, but that was the only 11th grade class I think I was taking. But anyway, they kicked me out. I was not living at home. I was living off by myself and still going to school and still working and writing my own excuses. I was sick, did not feel good today, signed Michael Williams. Well, that didn't work after a while. They finally got to where they said, "No, that's not going to fly. You're gone. You're out of here. You know, you've missed too many days." And they were just happy to see me go, because I was a troublemaker. I was lost and not know God. But, I, you know, I was on drugs. I smoked a lot of marijuana, did a lot of acid back in those days, and drank a lot. And my own daddy put me in jail. He was deputy sheriff. He had to put me in jail once. That must have been terrible for him to have to do that. And Bert and I got married at a real young age. And, you know, Bert was 16, I was 17 when we got married. I got saved. I got saved at 19 years of age. And it was an amazing thing, because some friends and I were looking for some drugs at the time, and couldn't find them in Houston, Texas. I mean, we couldn't find what we're looking for in Houston. And they found them the day after I got saved. The day after I got saved. And I didn't get saved in a church. I hadn't gone to a church. I started reading the Bible some, and, you know, and it just, I realized I needed to get saved. There's a guy on a job witnessing to me, and I came home one day, and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I did. I tried to not cuss for 3 days. I tried to not do drugs for 3 days. And you know what? It wasn't happening. It just wasn't happening. And I remembered. I remember coming in and I said, "God, I can't do this." I realized there was a heaven and I wasn't going there. And I realized there was a hell and I was probably going there. And I realized there was a God, you know, and I made that admission, you know, and I didn't believe any of that prior to months before that, but God had been working on it. Brenda started going to church, and I didn't go. And she started going to a Baptist church there in Pasadena, I never will forget the guys came knocking on the door, you know, visitation, knocking on the door, and I went to the door, and these two guys standing there, and they said, is Brenda here? And I stepped outside and closed the door, and I said, what do you want with her? I didn't know who they were, you know. And they said, I remember I closed the door, stepped outside, and they said, we're from such Baptist church. And I saw their Bibles, and she came Sunday. We came to visit. I said, oh, okay, let me go get her. And so I opened the door, let them in the living room, and I went back in the bedroom. I wasn't going to stay in there with those Jesus freaks in there talking about the Bible, you know. But Brenda had started going to church, and, of course, she had been praying for me. But I just gave up. In my life, I surrendered. I quit running. The hound of heaven was on my trail, and I quit running. I just quit running. And I finally just gave it up. I said, God, I can't do this. I just cannot do this. I was 19 years old. And so, you know, I said, the first time I ever remember praying and talking to Jesus, really from my heart, and I said, Jesus, if you can do anything with me, help me do something with me. I can't do this. And God is my witness. I was saved. Right then. I knew it. I just knew. I just had a peace. Nothing supernatural took place that I could feel, but I felt a rest, you know. I got up and I thought, okay, I'm gonna start going to church. I'm gonna start reading my Bible. I'm done. I'm done with all this. And I remember going and flushing my drugs down the commode. I had some drugs I still had, and I flushed them down the commode. My buddies who are all druggies, you know, I saw them the next day. Went over the house and they were doing drugs, and I just passed on by. I said, no, guys, I don't need that. I turned my life over to God last night. I hadn't gone to church. I didn't know, you know. I was so excited that I'd changed my life. And they said, well, Mike, that's real good. That's real good, you know. I said, man, you need to get what I got. I'm telling you, I got what we've been looking for. I mean, I was turned on. I wanted everybody to have what I had. And Sunday, we went to church, man. We went to church, hallelujah, two churches. I went to one, the Sunday school didn't like it, and we got up and went to another church I didn't know. I was just looking for something, you know. But back to this memory thing, I couldn't really remember anything. I'd done so many drugs. I couldn't remember phone numbers. I couldn't remember anything. And I asked God to help me with my memory. I asked God to, you got to help me here, you know, because I read every day. I mean, man, I just was consumed with the Bible. I want to know God. I want to know about the Bible. I want to know everything, and I want to know it right now, you know. You know how that is. And so every afternoon I'd come home from work and spend hours just reading and writing stuff on index cards. Oh, the scripture is so good. That is great, man. It's awesome. I'd write that down, you know, and I'd stick it on the wall. And I had a closet that was just covered with little index cards with scriptures. I'd writing them down. I'd underline in my Bible. I was wearing my Bible out. I was underlining and highlighting. And, you know, it was all new to me. I'd come out of the drugs and just a worthless life. And now I was somebody, you know, somebody cared. And God helped me. He helped my mind. In fact, John 14:26 says this. It says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things, and he'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I spoke to you. That is a scripture I quoted every day for years. Every day. And my mind would just, when it came to scripture, I could just remember. It just started coming like that. And of course, a year later, I was called to teach, you know, and but God can help you with your memory. I'm living proof of that. Living proof of how God can cause you to remember things. I'm amazed at things I remember. I go, wow, I'd forgotten that. Somebody will say something, I go, wow, yeah, I remember I read a book one time and said that, and it'll just come to me. But I know that's God doing it because I'm trusting him to do that. Are you with me? Okay. Okay, a little bit of my testimony. I had to blubber a little bit there. So Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Y'all found it? Then I said, I will not make mention of him, and I will not. That word mention, incidentally, is remember. It's the same word in the Hebrew we've been looking at here, remember. I will not remember him. I will not mention him. I will not talk of him. I won't remember him. I said, I won't. I will not do it, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart. Now, here's a key. If you will get God's word in your heart consistently, you won't forget it. The word in you will remind you. The word in will keep you going. It'll keep you talking. It'll keep you speaking. You ever been witnessing to somebody or praying for somebody or talking to somebody and a scripture just come up and you don't even remember where that came from? You think of a scripture and you go, wow, that's neat. Well, that's the Spirit of God bringing that to your remembrance. You have to read it first in order to remember it because you can't remember what you hadn't heard, right? anymore you can come back from where you hadn't been. And wherever you go, there you are. Profound truth. Y'all might want to write that down, but anyway. But he says this, he said, I wasn't going to remember you, I wasn't going to mention you, I wasn't going to think of you, nor speak any more in your name, but your word was in me, in my heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay, I could not shut up, I couldn't help but remember, I had too much of you in me, I had too much of your word in me, to not remember. And if you put enough of God's word in you, you will remember. And it will come to you when you need it. It will talk to you when you need it. I couldn't count the times the scripture just came up. Sometimes when I'm preaching, just like now, scriptures start stacking up like boxcars on a freight train. I mean, I'm going to derail this train here. I'm thinking all these scriptures. They start lining up, you know, because the memory comes as the word gets in you. So if you want to remember the word, get the word in you. Joshua 1:8. Here's a good one. This is where God tells Joshua his strategy for taking over the Canaan land. Joshua now is the general, the commander-in-chief of the armies of Israel. Moses has died. Joshua's taken over. And he tells them in Joshua 1:8, God speaking, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. If you want to remember the word, you need to speak the word. You need to read it and get inside of you. And you need to talk about it all the time. You need to say it all the time. You need to say you're blessed in Jesus' name. You need to say you're going to make it in Jesus' name. Are you with me? You need to say greater is he's in me, he's in the world. You need to say God will meet all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You need to say the word and confess the word if you're going to remember the word. If you're not going to say it, you're not going to remember it. Pure and simple. If it's not going to be instituted into your daily life. You know, to quote another guy, he wasn't a poet, but he was a physicist. His name was Blaise Pascal. He wrote a book called Pensées or Thoughts, and he talked about truth. He said, truth, we're not convinced by truth as much as we are by habit, things that we do every day. He says, nobody ever proves that the sun's going to come up. We just know it will because it's been coming up every day. Are you with me? And no one can just prove that you're going to die, but you know you're going to die. Everybody knows that because everybody dies. There's no scientific proof. We sat down and laid out a formula and explained all that. It's just it happens all the time, and we know it's the truth because of habit. He said, so what happens is you need to create a habit of reminding yourself of truth once you learn a truth, lest you forget the truth. Because truth isn't what convinces us. It may convince us one time, but if we don't have a habit of looking at it and repeating it and going over it and putting it on our refrigerator and putting it on, you know, our mirror in the bathroom, if we don't keep it before our eyes like God said, keep these things before your eyes. If we don't do that, we will forget it. If we don't make a habit out of saying the word, a habit out of praying the word, institute it into your lifestyle, amen, if you want to remember something. Praise God. So he says this, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Ooh, I like that. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. When? When you make a habit out of confessing the word, and you get the word in your mouth, you won't forget it. Amen? I don't want to forget. I want to remember. God, don't let me forget. Don't let me forget. Hosea. Oh, this is a fascinating scripture here. Hosea 2:16 and 17. It's kind of in the negative sense, but it still makes the same point. God speaking in Hosea 2:16. He said, it shall be at that day, says the Lord, that you shall call me Ishi, which means husband, and you shall know or call me Baal. These were talking about captives that had Baal's names and worship Baal's God, the God of Baal, and so on. He said, but when I set you free, you're going to call me husband, provider. I like that. God is a husband, isn't he? The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He provides for me. We're married to him in that respect. Husband means provider is what it means. He said, in that day you'll call me husband. You shall no more call me Baal after the names of Baal. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of your mouth, and there shall be no more remembrance, or they shall be no more remembered by their names. Now, think about it in the negative sense. if God can get something out of your mouth, you'll forget it. That's what he's saying. He said, you shall no longer remember their names, for I will take their names out of your mouth. Well, all we got to do is quit talking the word, and we'll forget it. Isn't that right? All we got to do is quit using that slide rule, and we'll forget it. You forget what you don't talk about. You forget what you don't say. So I remember what I do say. So why don't we say the word? We say the word, we'll remember it. Amen? Oh, and then this one. This is the best one yet right here. Habakkuk 2:1. I really firmly believe in this one. I believe in all of them so far. I mean, I got the word in me. I'm always confessing the word and saying the word and always confessing the answer, not the problem, looking for ways to go over, not under, looking ways to get out of the mess, not stay in the mess. I don't know what mess you're in, but you need to be thinking of a way to get out. You need to be praying and looking for a way out. There is a way out. You know, when David saw the giant, he didn't give up. He was just looking for a way to kill that giant. There had to be a way to kill him. And there is a way for you to get out. Looking forward, confessing the end before it happens, confessing victory instead of failure. Well, we're just not going to make it. Yes, we are. We're going to make it in the name of Jesus. No matter what the devil does or what he throws at us, God's bigger than the devil. Amen? Habakkuk 2, man, this is so good. He says, I'll stand upon my watch. First verse, Habakkuk 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower. I will watch and see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am reproved. In other words, I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear what God has to say. And once I hear what he has to say, in our case or your case, we're going to get in the word. We're going to find out what he says. Once I find out what he says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. Oh, glory. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. But you need to write it down. What's God speaking to you? What is it that you're believing for? What is it that you're praying about? What promises are you standing on? You need to write them down. You need to write it down so you can read it and run with it. Make it plain upon the tables. Narrow down what you're believing for. Get specific. Sometimes we just say, Lord, bless us, but that's just, you know, Lord, bless us, that's just real general. We need to say, Lord, I'm believing for this particular thing. I'm praying for this marriage. I'm praying for my child. I'm praying for this job. I'm praying for whatever the case may be, this church. I'm specifically asking you to help me with this, and here's the promise. And I believe in the name of Jesus, it'll be just like you said, I'll put you in remembrance according to your word right here. Not demanding of God, but just doing what he said to do. Write it down and make it plain. I read a book the other day. It wasn't even a Christian book. I got it on a self-help section of a half-price bookstore. I was looking for a book by whose author ended in L, and then it wasn't there, but there was an author whose name ended in K right beside it, and the name of the book was, get this, Write It Down, Make It Happen. Well, I'm getting that book. And it was an awesome book. It was really great. Wasn't necessarily a Christian. I think the lady probably was a Christian, but it wasn't written as a Christian book. It's in self-help. Never have understood self-help. You know, you ask somebody, where's the self-help section? They said, wouldn't that be kind of defeatist to tell you where the self-help section? Anyway. But that principle of writing it down is all through the Scripture. You know what we have here? We have a Bible that is written down. Why? So we can make it plain. So when we read it, we can run with it. And that's exactly what he was telling the prophet. He said, write it down. Write it down. Have you written down your dreams? Do you know what you're believing for? If you've gotten specific, and I mean get specific. You heard about that missionary in Africa, didn't you? He was out in the jungle. He had a guide, and the guide got ahead of him, and he got lost. And he's on this trail, and all of a sudden a lion jumps out in front of him, and he thought, oh, my goodness, there's a lion. And he hits his knee, and he says, Lord, let this be a nice Christian lion. And all of a sudden the lion hit his knees and said, Lord, thank you for this meal. He wasn't specific enough. He should have said, Lord, deliver me from this lion. That's what he wanted, wasn't it? So you need to narrow down what it is that you're believing for and get specific about it. Write it down. I mentioned the book that Amanda's got, her blessing book. and she's got one section where she's got things she's believing for. And she's just constantly crossing out those things she's believing for because they're coming to pass. She's reminded of those things. I write down every day, and I've been doing this for a while. I hadn't always done that. I just started doing this. I write down every day the same things that I'm believing for, me, personally. I have a personal page. Then I have a church page. And I just write down things that I'm believing for as if they happen, and go over them every single day. Every single day, I go over them. I look at them. And in fact, I'm laying in bed. I'm kind of groggy. I get my book and I start writing, you know. And Brandon brings my breakfast like every woman does to their husband. I won't get in trouble here in a minute. I'll quit. But anyway, I'm writing down and I'm looking over. And you know what amazes me is I'll have a whole page of things I'm believing, you know, like concerning the house and our land and me personally, you know. And then over on this other page, the church, the building here, the gym, and the people, the services. Me personally, again, as a pastor, I'm always saying I'm a great pastor. Great pastor. I love people, you know. I put things down. I write it down, and I look at it. And what amazes me is I have page after page after page of it because I'm repeating every day. And when I get through, I flip back the day before just looking, and I go, oh, wow, I forgot that. So I write that down. In one day's time, I forgot one little thing I was believing for the day before. I need that remembrance. See, I need to write it down to remember it. Are you out there? Don't look at me like I got a bad memory here. Come on. But I really believe we should write things down, especially our goals and our dreams and our visions, and to reiterate that. Did you know in the Old Testament, 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles, David had one. He had a scribe that was called the recorder. In fact, if you look up the word recorder, some translations say the historian. It says his name was Joash, the son of Asaph, the recorder. That was his name. And there was another guy that was a recorder. Everybody say recorder. Do you know the word recorder is the same Hebrew word translated remember? To record is to remember. To write it down is to remember. Did you know most all businesses have a mission statement that they've written down? We have it here. We say we're about, you know, empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their world. We say it all the time. That's our mission statement. That's what we're about, is it where we got that written down. We also have written down a longer version of what we're believing for. You know, lost, saved, sick, healed, poor, rich, the blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the maimed may whole, a cripple walk. You know, we see them coming from everywhere. Hallelujah. God's given us the nations. We've written it down, and we're seeing those things come to pass. Over the years, the things we've written down and said are the things that have happened. Jeremiah, this will be the last one. Jeremiah 30. Y'all get anything out of this? Remember, remember. Oh, please don't forget. Stir yourself up. Work hard at remembering God's promises and remembering your goals and your dreams and your visions. In Jeremiah 30, you know what's so neat about that? I can remember some of our old confessions. Y'all remember when we had little bookmarks that we put our confession on? How many of y'all remember those years ago? And we'd get up and say, like we, our long version, we would say things. I've looked at some of those old ones, and it's amazing how many of those things happened. We called in land, we got land. We called in building, we got built. We called in the gym, and it got out there. We called in concrete, we called in chairs. I mean, there's a whole list of things that we stood up on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and called in Jesus' name. And you know what? They're done. They're done. We're not calling those in anymore. We wrote those things down, and we wrote them off. Write it down and make it happen. Amen? And I can remember looking at that bookmark and saying those things out every day during the week and then getting up here and saying it every service, you know. And little by little, those things just happened. They happened because we were believing and we were reminding ourselves in God. Jeremiah 30, you're going to love this. I don't even know if you, are you ready for this one? Okay. Jeremiah 30, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, second verse. Thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book all the words that I have spoken to you. Write it down. King James here says, write thee all the words that I have spoken to you in a book. Has God ever spoke to you anything? Has God ever put a dream in your heart? Has he ever put a desire in your heart to do anything? You need to write that down. You ever had a word from God? Sometimes you get a personal word or prophecy. You know what? You need to write that down and go over it. you know, I've had several prophecies over the years, and best I can, I write them up or type them up, you know, when I get home that day. And in fact, I got a page with a lot of them on there. Sometimes I'll just get them, look at them, and go over them. I remember one time a lady prophesied over me. I just started going to Lakewood, been there about a year or so, and Ruthie Dearman prophesied over me. Didn't know who I was from Adam. And she said, God's going to burst, your ministry is going to burst forth like a butterfly from a cocoon, and you're going to teach and counsel with older men. I was 19 years old, 20 years old, didn't have a high school education. It wasn't just a couple years later, I was teaching at Lakewood. And over the counselors, Brent and I were head counselors for 2 years at Lakewood, back in the long time ago. And the class that I taught a class in the auditorium when Lakewood had about 5,000 people. I started out with 400 or 500 at 9:30, and at 10:15 when I closed out, since it was the auditorium, I had about 4,000 people in the auditorium. I went from there to here at a very young age, even though she was going there at the time in and out from Mexico. But, you know, I wrote that down. I wrote it down on the back of a notebook. Actually had forgotten about it. And found it years later when I was fulfilling it. And everything in that prophecy came to pass exactly. But I was careful to write it down. So I want to encourage you, if you want to remember some things, well, you need to get the word in your heart. First thing you need to do is remember the word. And you need to confess the word. If you don't say it, you're going to forget it. Are you with me? And if you don't write it down, you're not going to run with it. So make a habit of doing it. Hey, get up every morning, write something, write down what you're believing for. If you have to write it again, write it again. If you just write it one time, that's fine. Just read it every day. But put it somewhere where you'll keep it in front of you and where you'll be reminded, just like a rainbow. Amen?